Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I have made a determination that I am a weird sports fan, that I'm a quirky sports fan, and it plays right into my negative personality.
How do you mean?
I'll explain. Two things. First of all, very big sports night in the O'Mara household last night. For you Orioles fans, you hate it when I do this, but the Red Sox are playing the Orioles, and the Orioles absolutely crushed the Red Sox last night. And so that's my normal sports viewing. I'm a fan of the Red Sox. I watch my baseball. Then we move into two other sports contests where
sports games, Mike, say it right.
Sports games. Where my negativity is all-encompassing, and that would be the Stanley Cup Final between the San Jose Sharks. We got a lot of listeners that are San Jose fans, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. We got a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins fans. Then the third sports item last night, all sports in the O'Mara household, was the NCAA Division I Golf Championship between Oregon and the University of Texas.
Oh, my God. Wasn't it a nail-biter?
I know this is not important to you.
I didn't even know they televised that. Mm-hmm.
Here it is. No, here it is.
What
when
channel?
When I watched those young men.
Channel old.
What do you mean channel old? When I watched those young men, I'm thinking about my son. First of all, it was 6 till 10 at night. It was 4 hours of golf coverage. And
so they can get in right after dinner. After all, you guys go to dinner at 4:30. You know what? Go home and watch
anybody,
your college golf.
Yeah, stay up late.
You know what? Any candy ass that sits there and watches Buster Keaton on his Wednesday night.
Hey,
you know,
I didn't watch Buster Keaton.
Excuse me.
I didn't watch Buster Keaton.
You watch the garbage that you sit your ass in front of the TV and watch. It's garbage. I am watching this. Let me explain. The reason I'm really into it is because I am envisioning what it would be like as I took my wheelchair, my automatic Rascal scooter, out on the golf course to watch my son compete in the college NCAA championship.
It would be
golf.
Embarrassing that to would... be in a Rascal, Mike. What we'll do is we'll put you into an actual golf cart, and you'll fit in.
That'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. I probably could make arrangements for that.
We'll probably have to strap you.
Is he still swinging the club, little Michael?
He's going out to the range today. He's going out to swing the club today. Very, very exciting.
Nice.
You'll hear more about him in the body of the show because we went to another. It's all about amusing my son now that I'm a full invalid.
Yeah.
It's basically hauling him around, which is my future anyway. That's
sure.
What when I'm not able to do things, I will be taking him.
But you're having a series of major surgeries to lengthen the amount of time that you're able to do things.
Precisely.
So, because you care.
I projected my fatherdom onto those kids that were competing in the NCAA golf championship, and they're all these fresh-faced kids, and you know they're into the competition, and you're watching this. And so I'm watching Oregon, the Ducks of the University of Oregon, ladies and gentlemen, against the Texas Longhorns. Now, right away, I will tell you, I'm with the Oregon folk.
Why?
Because they haven't been there as often as, say, you know, hasn't Texas had their share of championships
forever.
In college sports?
Yes, forever.
Every sport you can name, they're always up there. But at the same time, suddenly a little piece of information comes that in this final match between these two golfers.
Death match.
One of the kid that's playing for Texas is the son of golfer Fred Funk, who used to coach the University of Maryland, is now playing on the senior tour and was a friend of a friend of mine. So I know Fred Funk and I've met Fred Funk and he's a cool guy. So suddenly, but I mean, when I met him, I'm talking about met him like to wave at him or shake at a tournament a long time ago.
Sure.
I might have said, hey, my friend Denny, who was a golf pro. I think studied under Fred Funk at the University of Maryland.
He
was
Freddy, his golf coach. Mighty Freddy. You're always so, ready.
He's like a DJ.
Yeah.
It's no one. I am speaking to no one who even understands sports.
Mike, you're watching
at all.
Oregon college golf.
It's golf. It's hard. It's hard to sell, Mike. It's a hard sell.
It is the NCAA championship.
I've never heard anyone talk about, guys, let me tell you.
You know what? It's NCAA championship in golf.
It is becoming more popular.
It was riveting. Mm-hmm.
It is becoming more popular.
It would almost have to because it can't go the other direction.
All right. Yeah. You know, well, no sports can in your house, can they, Rob?
No.
No sports can at all,
no,
right?
Robert goes to his room and looks at basketball.
Yeah, and looks at the basketball.
Sure.
While dad, you know, burps up his tater tot casserole. All right.
Who are you rooting for at this time? Have you switched?
All right. Well, I got a little bit. I look at this kid and I'm like, well, that'd be real nice for the dad. And then they interview the mother. And this is my negative sports.
Mother.
And they interview Mrs. Funk.
The widow Funk, Mike?
the Funk mistress, who is the Funk missus. And they interview her. And she gets choked up talking about. Here's the question. Here's how it goes. And I'm all in. I'm getting sympathetic because as a parent, you know, you can relate to that.
Sure.
Is this harder or easier than watching your husband when he was on the PGA Tour? She says, oh, this is much harder because I'm pulling for him. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Her voice is cracking a little bit. And then she says this. And I just want to thank the prayer warriors that are praying for this to happen. And I am all out. I said, okay, because God is paying attention to you and you alone. Prayer warriors, first of all, it's a Sarah Palin line. And second of all, it's a little bit overstating the significance of the golf match to say prayer warriors. And at this point, I'm like, come on, Oregon, kill that kid right now. I just got totally in and... you know, I mean passionate. I mean heart pumping like it's my kid. And they went to sudden death.
Yeah.
They weren't able to get it decided in 18 holes. And Oregon, the Ducks.
Yes.
Who won it. And it was on their home turf because we've had an affiliate in Eugene, Rob.
We've been
on the radio out there.
Of course.
We have listeners in the Eugene area.
Yes.
And so to the people of Eugene, I was pulling for you, and I'm delighted that the Ducks took home the championship. And Casey Martin, a golfer with a bad leg and all sorts of health issues when he was on the tour, is the coach of Oregon now. And it was a wonderful story.
That's
and so
excellent.
I was very, very happy.
And also, they didn't have to call on the power of prayer because they're all noted Satanists.
Even if she had said, we're praying for a good turn, that might have made me a little ant, but when she
said, about
hoping? I want to thank for all the prayer warriors.
Yeah.
I never liked that term when
no
I heard it.
No time for
time.
That in sports.
See you at the Texas Husker. Prayer breakfast.
No time for that in sports whatsoever.
Don't make it about you. You're talking about your son.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And then it was on to, so that was satisfying. Turn back on to the Red Sox game. They're getting crushed by the Orioles. And I'm like, okay, I'm bored with that. I don't want to watch that. And then it was off to the Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose
but
Sharks.
But didn't one
game.
Of your Red Sox hit like five home runs with seven at bats last night?
You know what? The Mookie Betts is who you're talking about.
Yes, Mookie Betts.
In a couple of days, he's had a few
home
runs.
I thought that was a bad bet.
Yeah.
He's done very well. I love Mookie. I love me the Mookie Betts.
Is he your favorite Mookie of them all?
He's my favorite Red Sox right now. He is my favorite guy. He is fantastic. He's a little guy that hits for power, and he's got a great attitude, and he's just cool. He's calm and collected, and I like the kid. So,
what about the rest of the lot?
Who can say anything bad about Big Poppy? Thank you for allowing me to have my sports
place
here on the show. Like me, the Big Poppy. Really like I like the whole team. I even like Hanley Ramirez this year, even though he's kind of a head case. I like that. Who I don't like is the pitchers for the Red Sox, starting pitchers that just don't look like they want to be there.
Mm.
And he's got a very simple name, like a World War II GI name, Joe Kelly.
That does sound like something played by Spencer Tracy, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was sent down to the minors today. So
is Fred Funk's boy?
That's how well he pitched. Huh?
Is Fred Funk's boy? Is his name Mookie Funk? I'm trying to remember.
It is not Mookie Funk. I forgot what it's. Oh, I
Blaylock.
Forgot what it was.
That's
it was something
it
fun. It was a different kind of name.
Pony,
like Thor Pony Funk or
Pony
something
Funk.
Like that.
Soul Funk,
not Pony Funk. It was Zohan. It was Zohan Funk.
Zohan, nice.
It's one of the few times that I can reference Zohan on the show.
A warrior, who, by the way, is in Israel right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, man.
Well, tell him to stay away from those carp. Anyway.
Nice callback.
So the thing is, it's on to the Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose Sharks game.
Right.
And, of course, it goes to overtime.
Mm.
And you would have seen me, you know, as soon as Pittsburgh scored the winning goal, which they always do, I angrily hit the power button because I am so jealous right now of the Pittsburgh Penguins hockey fans that my negativity knows no bounds. I just hate watching them win, and I watch it in a masochistic way to just suffer, and because I know that the Penguins are going to score the winning goal. And I look at their fans with all their yellow, their gold T-shirts on, and, ooh, we're going to get another win in overtime. Yeah, because that's all they do is win. They're like 4-1 in the playoffs in overtime, and I just hate the spoiled fans that now have that whole Yankee thing going, like the Yankees used to have when they expect to win.
Sure.
And it sucks. It just sucks. So anyway, that's all. That's my
how dare they?
Who scored the winning goal for the Penguins?
Some a-hole.
Was his name Mookie?
Yeah, let me see. It was Mookie. It was Mookie Funk Crosby. It was Mookie Funk Crosby Ovechkin. It was Mookie Funk Crosby Howe. Here's his full name.
Okay.
Mookie Funk Crosby Howe Jurgensen. Now we can start the show, Rob. Absolutely.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I had to stop drinking, though, because I got tired, like, waking up in my car driving 90. Trying to talk to the police when your mouth don't work. I don't know what it is that make drunk people want to talk. But you can bet if somebody drunk, he gonna talk. You know what I mean? You ever be driving, the police ease up, put them bright lights on you, and your brain start going,
don't worry about it, just be cool. Everything, don't worry, just be cool. Now straighten up, just put your arm on the window. That's right. Put your arm on the window, be cool, lay back, all right. Just get it together. You're ready now. When you come up, say, everything's fine, all right? Just say, everything's fine, everything's fine, all right.
Now, that's what you say in your brain, but your mouth has made up its mind. Your mouth be saying, I'm going to say these words the way I want to. Policeman, come under my...
How you feeling?
I'm the fish out.
Yeah, right. Want to get out?
Yeah, now.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Live from the Cabby Fighter Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. We're on the air and online everywhere. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show, an internet broadcast with the greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. And if you're here, you will too. Mark my words, you will. If you're new, give her some time. Our phone lines are always open at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. When we're on, you can call us anytime. Our show today brought to you by Sleep Number. I'm stunned, really, not only at how well my Sleep Number bed works for me, but also how long it has lasted and how there's no end in sight. The durability of my Sleep Number bed, I think it's going to last forever. You can go to a Sleep Number store right now, the only place where you will find a Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. And right now is the time to do it because you can save $500 on their Memorial Day Special Edition bed with Sleep IQ technology so you have the knowledge to adjust for your best possible sleep. The Sleep Number bed lets me choose my ideal firmness, and I can change it whenever I want. It adjusts on both sides, so it is the perfect bed for couples. Mrs. O'Mara loves her side. Mr. O'Mara loves his side. So, my Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 75. She changes hers all the time. I love my 85 setting. It's fantastic. And last night, my Sleep IQ score was a 95 again, and I feel great. Hurry in now and save $500 on a Memorial Day Special Edition bed with Sleep IQ technology. Remember, you'll only find Sleep Number at a Sleep Number store. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting only at any of the 500 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to wink your eye and tell them Mike O'Mara sent you. There's a little break, so we do that the right way. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How's everybody doing?
How are you doing?
We are great.
I can really honestly say that I have never been better.
Oh, great.
I love when you're honest.
That's the spirit.
That is the spirit. for those of you just listening to the show, Mike is beaming a 100-watt smile our way. That's what's going on. And, oh, and a little sparkle in the eye, too.
Just great.
Great. Great, great, great.
Anyway, we talked about sports, but I didn't get to what we normally do this time of the week because you've been so, so sweet to send me your correspondence. And I know everybody likes a birthday announcement. Everybody likes to get their information out over the airwaves or over the online internet broadcast thing. And let's do that right now. So let's get right to the mailbag because it's not all about us.
No,
it's
no.
about you, ladies
you
and gentlemen.
Say it like Blake. You.
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 Are you going to do that now every day with your obsessive compulsive? Will you, every time you play that song, will you do the you
no,
thing?
No. No.
Thank
I
you.
Won't.
Good.
One time.
Yay.
Yay.
Encourage him.
Okay. Happy birthday to Laker Toby.
Ooh.
What an interesting name. He's had a rough go of it lately, so his wife, Kathy, wants him to have an extra special birthday this year, and hearing his name on his favorite podcast will be a great way to accomplish that. Happy birthday, Lakers. So if that's going to, you know, if that's going to help his year out a little
sure.
bit, let me do it again. Laker Toby, 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 Laker Toby.
We met him in Reno, a really nice guy.
Very good. Chris Campbell is on the precipice of turning 32. Does that mean he's 31?
But yeah, he's not 32 yet.
So he has many great douchebag years ahead of him. Happy birthday, Chris. Happy belated birthday to Vince Bedali. His wife has been meaning to submit his birthday for a TMOS greeting for the past 6 years.
Nice.
Oh, wow. But this year she finally did it. Here's an editor's note. Good girl. See what happens when you finally put down that box of bonbons and apply yourself. Very nice indeed. That's Mr. Rob Spiewak that wrote that. Sarah Walker wants us to wish her boyfriend a happy 40th birthday. She tells us he's been listening since 1994. She also tells us that she feels like dating him is like winning the boy lottery. Isn't that special? Happy birthday, Alex.
I do think boy lottery is illegal in most of the 50 states.
I'll just tell you this, Alex. If you can get your hooks into one that gullible, stay with her. Also, I need the alarm for that, too. Right?
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You absolutely got it.
It's the misogyny alarm. Also, happy birthday to Grimey. Oh,
Grimey!
Yeah.
He survived another year of excessive drinking and constant prowling for trim.
Yeah. We used to call it trolling for whores.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
that hit the alarm again.
We're really working it today.
Misogyny alarm is going off over time. Now on to the letters. Hey, guys. It's not my birthday or my wife's birthday either. It's not our anniversary for another 9 months. Both of my sons are too old to need a birthday shout-out, but my granddaughter, Harper Rose O'Donnell, is graduating from kindergarten today. Wow, that's really stretching it.
That's really exciting. You know, I didn't think she'd make it. That's a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
I know she loves it when I fart, so I'm sure she'll love hearing you all fart for her. Thanks, Jim O'Donnell. We ain't doing it.
Oh God!
Oh,
we do. There are a lot of things you're not going to spin. You're not going to spin the wheel for that.
But I'm glad to know he's raising her right.
I am too. Hi, Rob, Mike, Oscar, et al. I just wanted to drop a note to say thanks for all the bonus shows. Sorry, as a faithful listener and supporter of your advertisers, I can't believe I had never pulled the trigger on the bonus package until a month ago. Big mistake. I mean, I could have been laughing even more of my ass off for the past 6 years. The rhythm of the show sans commercials is so good. Anyway, I'm catching up on the missed yucks now and looking forward to renewing next year. Keep bringing the funny. It's what you guys do best. And that is from Mike Harper. All right, now next letter. Podcast Gods. This is actually a two-part question for Pony Boy from a couple of fellow cyclists.
Oh, good.
Pony.
Okay.
Number one. What bike or bikes are you riding these days?
Oh, I'm riding a Fuji road bike and an Ellsworth Epiphany mountain bike.
Wow. Those sound pretty high end. Are those?
Can you say that really slow?
Ellsworth Epiphany.
Oh, yeah.
And a Fuji road bike. Yeah, yeah. Full carbon.
Yeah, right there. Mm-hmm. Full carbon.
So when you're on the Epiphany bike, do you get on it and like ride a mile down the road and go, I just discovered biking is wonderful.
Yes, precisely.
Who needs vagina?
When I can pedal, pedal, pedal. I can I can pedal away my sexual energy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pedaling to Glenda's house.
Oh, I hate you so much.
Thank you.
What's the next question?
Number two. Guess what I put in my basket?
Maybe she'll bathe me when I get there.
How? Oh, so sweaty from pedaling the Fuji. Number two. How infuriating is it? Maybe that's a word I can't pronounce. How infuriating is it? No, there are none that I can't pronounce. How infuriating is it when Mike talks about bikes and is a rube? Oscar pretends to know it all, and Rob is doing shtick. Love the show, long time. Dick Nate in Prince Frederick, Maryland, and Carrie in Bergen, New York. Why is this two people, Rob? Why is this two people?
Well, when you write a letter this brilliant, one person can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. You need two cyclists.
That's right.
So Nate and Carrie. So did one question come from Carrie? Who wrote the nasty thing about infuriating?
They both signed the letter, so I can't put it to either person. I think they're both dicks.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Thanks for listening.
By the way, I think my bike is... My Trek that I'm looking at right now is going to be retired. So do you think I'm a rube for that bike, like Oscar said there, Tony?
What's the return policy on one of those things?
I believe it's about 60 days. It depends on the store. But
there might be a 10% restocking fee.
There's no way that I didn't get a cheap bike. I spent a lot of money
on it. That's why I said you can still return it.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you spend on it? Out of curiosity.
I'm not telling you. Oh. I don't want you to know.
Oh, we want to know what type of rube you
are. What would you pay for a good hybrid?
$900.
Well, I wouldn't get a good hybrid anyways because they don't really make good hybrids. They're kind of the first bike, as I call it. That's the find out if you like biking bike and
well,
then
that's
if
perfect
you like
for
biking.
Me,
exactly.
Well, that's perfect for me though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's perfect for me though.
But if you're not going to bike, why have
it? You know, I don't know whether you've been listening to the show for the last couple of days, but I've had some minor health issues that I've been dealing with, okay?
Well, according to this letter, this is when I should start doing shtick.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. You have held back from it.
That's right, I have. Because Oscar's busy being a know-it-all.
This is true. That's fine.
It's my logic. No,
mm-hmm. I hated that letter. Anyway, hey, TMOS, next letter. This is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Perhaps you remember me. I won the fruitcake this past Christmas season. I have good news and bad news. The good news is that my dog, Rudy, that got hit by a car right before I received my call, is doing fine.
Do you remember this?
Well,
we called this guy, and when
you
he answered,
do, but I don't.
He was extraordinarily upset and out of breath because his dog had just been hit by a car.
Oh, I'm glad
the dog
that.
Is fine now. That's good.
Yeah, it's great. When was that? Back at Christmas time?
Yeah, December. That's when Christmas falls in December last year, right?
Yeah.
So.
I'll tell you, if the numbers weren't written on the box, I wouldn't remember my mailbox number, okay? The bad news is that I am still working with the bitch that I told you about when I won the fruitcake. Now, that's very, very harsh. The prospective job interview went badly, and I am still stuck with that C. Wow. This is the kind of stuff if it got out online, like on a podcast.
Yes.
He might get in trouble. My entire extended family now knows about her and listens to TMOS because nothing was funnier than being boozed up at Christmas and listening to the show when I won the fruitcake, which, by the way, was quite delicious, Rob.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Glad the dog is here.
I play TMOS in the evening when I am washing the dishes and the kids are doing their homework. Everyone loves it except my youngest daughter, who is not too fond of Oscar's cackling laugh.
And why isn't his wife doing the dishes?
That's a great question. Hit the alarm for yourself. Thank you. Misogyny alarm. It is my oldest daughter's 16th birthday on Sunday, and if Bob Barker could wish her a happy birthday and tell Rudy to stay out of the road and get neutered, it would make our day. Thanks for the best podcast ever. That's Bob Todd. Electrical supervisor, New York Power Authority. Well, that's he'll be hard to find with his supervisor.
He will be. Why? We don't know what her C name is.
Well, let's spin the wheel for
all right, drop
Bob
the coin.
Todd. Todd. Wow.
Hey, winner!
Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in right now. Rob, would you like to give a formal introduction?
I would, ladies and gentlemen.
While I'm looking for new Corvette.
Perhaps the greatest game show host of them all. You know him all the way back from Truth and Truth or Consequences, and right up until the 30th anniversary, I believe, of The Price is Right. He even let his hair go gray on television. He is a
great
host.
Make that introduction longer, Rob.
Great host, great activist, a man who has really advanced the science of caring for pets and making it okay to talk about getting your pets spayed and neutered in mixed
going,
company.
Rob, I'm still trying to find it. You put
Billy
this
Madison.
Soundboard
together. I think, what's that? It said
great in Billy Madison.
Wonderful Billy Madison. As you know, a lot of people don't know this. Did you know that right now, Adam Sandler is one of the executive producers of The Price is Right.
Whoa.
Big,
wow.
Big fan. Yeah, and that's shot every day in Television City in Hollywood, California.
Thank you, Rob.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bob Barker.
Hello, hello. Oh, let me open the door for you right now. There we go. The door is opening by Robbie.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Fantastic interview, and I'd like to say hi to Bob Todd. Bob Todd, Rod, tell Bob Todd what he's won.
It's a new Corvette.
How wonderful Bob Todd has won a Corvette
Stingray. Shut up, Rod. Anyway.
Rod has passed, yes?
Rod has passed, but I'd like to introduce him just the same to Rob Spiewak and Bob Todd, all right? Let me say, Rod, Rob, Rob, Bob, Bob, Rod. What a wonderful greeting we have, and make sure that that little mangy dog, Rudy, doesn't run out into the road and gets his balls snipped. That's what I have. Oh, hold on just a second. The lovely dog, Rudy, who's recovering from being hit by a car, has won something. Rod, tell him what he's won.
It's a new Corvette.
Thank you. All right, I'm leaving now.
So ciao, ciao.
Bob, your pets.
Thanks, Bob.
What's a dog going to do with a Corvette?
I love that sound effect.
Anyway, I'm Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and Assorted Interns. Tomorrow I turn 34. In lieu of any sort of impression request, I want to ask that you guys play the Hail Satan clip from Rosemary's Baby. You see, I tend to keep my car's audio volume much louder than usual when listening to talk radio, and I am never more aware of this fact than when you guys play that clip. The looks I get from my fellow tight-ass Northern Virginia commuters are often the highlight of my week. I cannot say, we're not spinning anything. I cannot say no to that request. Thanks. You guys rule. Brian Dry. Okay, let me tell you something, Brian. What I want you to do now, if you're driving along, is turn it up really loud and roll down the window so
please do.
Everybody can hear this in Northern Virginia traffic. The Hail Satan clip from Rosemary's Baby for Brian. Rosemary's Baby
right.
For Brian Dry. Hit it, Rob.
All right, here we go.
Music. WABC.
What have you done to its eye?
He has his father's eyes.
What are you talking about? Guy's eyes are normal.
Satan is his father, not Guy. Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Satan is his father, and his name is Adrienne.
He chose you out of all the world, out of all the women in the whole world. He chose you. He arranged things because he wanted you to be the mother of his only living son.
His power is stronger than stronger.
Roll the windows
down. His might shall last longer than longer. Hail Satan!
No!
Look at his hands.
And his feet. Oh, God!
God is dead! Satan lives! The year is won! The year is won! God is dead! The year is won!
Okay. Yeah, that'll, nice. That'll turn a few heads.
Yeah, that'll show him. That'll fix him.
That'll fix him. Hi, Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and the intern Dream Team Squad. Well, let's not get happy.
Wow.
My wife's name is Connie Hannah. And we are both big fans of the show. We appreciate the daily dose of fun and frivolity that you provide. We recently stockpiled the show so you could accompany us on our road trip to Charleston, South Carolina. We almost detoured to Savannah in hopes of a stray Katie Von Herman sighting. Connie will be celebrating a... I'm sorry.
It's a mouth guard joke. I'm sure she's fine.
Your mouth guard. Connie will be celebrating a huge birthday on June 7th. I cannot divulge her age, but it's a big one that ends in 20.
I was thinking 100.
It would give her great pleasure, and I would consider it an honor if you could sing the traditional TMOS birthday song to help her get through the day. We had a fantastic time meeting and talking with the Moore Network gang at the Tony Perkins live show at the DC Improv recently. Isn't that a great place to do a show?
Wonderful place,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We can't wait for a TMOS live event. Keep up the funny, and thank you for brightening each and every day. Sincerely, George Hanna. I love their brother Jack as well. So,
also great.
For Connie Hanna, 321, happy birthday.
Improv.
Happy Connie Hanna, live. Hi, TMOS crew. My father, Robert Sagan. I know a Carl Sagan.
Ooh.
Oh, from the Cosmos program.
Millions and billions. He has his double nickel birthday today. That's 55. Next to pushing me down a hill so I'd learn to ride a bike or buying me a big BB gun after I caught him with a porno. The best memories.
Whoa.
That's hush money, Mike. What
that
is.
The best memories I have are riding around. I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
Don't tell your mother.
I will buy you a BB gun.
And a ton of ice cream.
I will buy you a gun if you don't tell your mother. The best memories I have are riding around with him, listening and laughing our asses off to you guys on the radio. I'm excited to have him and my mom fly out to the D.C. area next week to see me enter my douchebag 30s and walk down the aisle on my wedding day.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
Awesome.
With love and respect, James Sagan, that is a funny letter. Just a couple more. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Pony, and the gaggle of interns, this Saturday I leave my fading 40s and enter my failing 50s. Oh, I can relate to that. Yes, it's true. In your soon-to-die 60s.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's true that I was, in fact, born before they put the first Star Trek on TV. While it may not look like I'm turning 50, I can attest that my hair is graying fast, my joints inexplicably ache, and my sight is best described as beer goggle blind, which some might call a plus.
Oh.
Yet despite my declining state, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the joy and laughter you all deliver during my daily commute. I'm thankful for the many good friends I've met through your show, and I'm thankful for the wonderful products I've ordered to support TMOS. To the fence sitters listening, buy the bonus package. You'll be glad you did. But most of all, I'm thankful that Adam Sternberg was unsuccessful in his attempt to kill the birthday segment all those years ago. So that you could read my letter today. S.A.D. Sternberg. Thank you for bringing the funny. Sincerely, Greg Cox, wonderful TMOS supporter.
From
Kansas City, Missouri. And now our last letter. Fellows, I always thought that Oscar's bastardization of our language was just shtick. No, it ain't. A bit, if you will. No, it ain't a bit.
I will.
That is until something happened recently that changed me in a deep and profound way. Please allow me to explain. Recently, one of my coworkers, who hails from Venezuela, was lamenting the loss of his favorite Italian restaurant in his neighborhood. Much to my horror slash delight, he was heard to remark, "They had great pizza."
Thank you.
It was then that I realized that this clearly is a thing with Oscar's people. I understand that Venezuela isn't Bolivia, but from what I've read, the difference is negligible. I now know Oscar is neither doing a bit nor is he some sort of dolt. He's just really, really foreign. So thank you, Oscar. Thank you for keeping it authentico. Joey Parsons in Hollywood, Maryland, and that is fantastic. That is a great mailbag, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a break, and when we come back, I continue the wonderful, wonderful world tour with my son, trying to amuse him every single day. And yesterday, Mrs. O'Mara bailed on our trip to one of the finest locations to dine in America.
Ooh.
I'll give you a hint. Its mascot is a big rat.
Oh, I know the place. I know the place.
We'll take a break, come back with more. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Joe, you know, on the Mike O'Mara Show, they're actually taking calls now.
It's not that hard of a technology. We're going to do it ourselves.
It looks like we have a call right now.
Is this me?
Yeah, hello.
Is this me?
Yeah. This was a horrible idea.
Yeah, hang up on that guy.
Yeah. We do a podcast. We don't like people. We don't have to talk to people. You all suck, but please keep listening.
The Rob and Joe Show, not interactive.
New episodes every week. Subscribe on iTunes, robandjoeshow.com.
Is this me?
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Hello?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our show brought to you by Touch of Modern. I have to tell you, I love Touch of Modern. It's one of my favorite websites, and it is the place you should stop for Father's Day, because you can find something for the hard-to-find gift person, Dad, by going to touchofmodern.com. Go there right now. You can give Dad something to brag about this year. Here's the cool thing, and this is the way guys think. At least this is the way I think.
I love getting something that's unique that nobody else has. If you're looking for unique, if you're looking for special, go no further than touchofmodern.com. They've got tons of great gifts all over the site for dad or yourself. They've got an incredible price range for stuff that is unique, whether it's watches, gadgets, tech, home brewing kits. New and vintage watches are my favorite. I go and watch those every single day because they're always changing the sales. Every single day, new sales launch at touchofmodern.com. It is the one website to improve your lifestyle with a single click. Father's Day, that's the place to go. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access to these deals when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it'll be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Hey, I wanted to send a shout out to our good friends down at a wonderful radio station. We really, really love The Wave, 97.1 The yeah. Wave, your beach station down in Ocean City, Maryland, and the surrounding beach areas. They're really promoting the heck out of our show, and I wanted to say thank you. Love, love, love that radio station. Absolutely adore the music that they are playing.
Great and, song list. It's so
it's
cool.
It's really an amazing playlist. You don't hear that kind of playlist that often anymore. And it's just unique. And I love that it's unique. And I think it's fantastic. So I wanted to send kudos out to 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
Nice.
And really nice guys down there. And we're happy to be a part of it. So anybody from the D.C. area, if you're rolling on down to the beach this holiday season, you know, not the holiday season, but it's the vacation season.
Sure, summer.
You're taking a break and you're going down to your summertime location at the beach, check us out on 97.1 the Wave. We really, really love that radio station.
Good place.
So thank you, thank you. Yesterday, the world tour continued with my son. If you're keeping track now, my lad has enjoyed the pirate cruise.
Yes.
He has, because it's summer, he's out of school, and even though it's preschool, he's still around a lot, and we want to do stuff with him. You know, it's just me and Carla and the little guy, and I want to do stuff with my son. And so we had the pirate cruise followed by the Thomas the Train Family Fun Fest or whatever they called it, which are, you know, and this is not, I love my son more than anything, but I have to tell you, I consider myself a good father as well, but I have to tell you, each of these events is just for me personally, not my kid and not the joy I see with him. I'm talking about my reaction to it. They're just tiny little slices of hell.
Yeah.
Little tiny slices of hell.
I think you and my father would have gotten along swimmingly, and I say would have because he's never home, so you'll never see him. Right. And I'll say that...
Yeah, he's given up on taking Oscar to events.
Yeah, he's got another family. I'll say that...
his Argentinian family.
My father would... He would take me to Chuck E. Cheese every 6 months if I was lucky. If wow. I was lucky, right? The fact right. that little Michael's gone to a pirate cruise and Chuck E. Cheese within a seven-day span
yeah.
is a bit overkill in my eyes, but I'm not a parent.
You know what? I think you might be right, though. I'm not going to disagree because I'm thinking, you know, we can't keep this fairy tale little life of his going. But he's not at the age where he even processes
then
that.
Then why are you going?
Because it's just fun to I like to
is
see him
smile.
Is it fun
for him if he's not processing?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't want to say not processing. What I'm saying, he's not processing the fact that
oh,
he'll want to do something. He'll want to do something
all the time.
Day.
I see what
I
you're saying.
I think it's new all the time. Yeah. And the fact is, you know, this could have been yesterday.
Like Groundhog
it could
Day.
Have been it could have been a month from now. I just, you know, it's me more than him. It's me not being able to do what I do because I don't get out and do my recreational activities because I'm basically an invalid. And so I want to do something.
Right.
And that's just something that I thought would be fun to take him out there, even though I know Chuck E. Cheese. I've been to, you know, when my kids were young. But I didn't realize that the Chuck E. Cheese chain has changed dramatically.
Well, it predated my childhood. So I really didn't get a chance to know about it until my kids came around. But I do remember there was
a lot
one,
of marionette dolls in
didn't it used to be
Pass.
Largely yeah, and my you know, we went to the Punch and Judy show and then we would picnic a lot. Didn't there at Chuck E. Cheese there used to be big animatronic animals, right? And do
yeah,
they
well,
still have that?
Here's what the first thing I noticed. Don't you remember going? Well, when's the last time you set foot in a Chuck E. Cheese, Rob?
Well, last night, of course. It was singles night.
There's one in Manassas, and I drive by all the time.
And there's one at the mall at the Dulles Town Center. So
been
I
a long
think,
time.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Yeah.
The pizza ruled when I was a kid.
The pizza sucks.
Yes, cardboard.
You don't know good pizza, Oscar.
You can't even say it.
Yeah,
he's chicken finger Oscar. I swear,
exactly.
His culinary expertise is non-existent. Yep. It is non-existent.
They're all. I like safe, Mike. Safe things.
I know. Yeah. Safe, like, you know, you probably are a big Salisbury steak guy.
Oh, no.
No, too much gravy.
No, no, I go filet. No. Filet.
Yeah. Filet, medium, and no steamed fish. Broccoli.
No. Medium rare. Medium rare.
Sure.
Only rubes get medium.
That's right.
Delish.
That's delish.
I sent stuff back now. That's how much of a food snob I am.
Oh, another reason to like him.
This meat
another favorable thing in the check mark
this
box.
Dead what? Meat is clearly old.
What send do you back? Send back and why? Why do
I
you
just,
send stuff
I
back?
Had
several girlfriends if you go back far
I
enough.
I
want to tell you, ladies and
gentlemen. That's wild.
I had steak frites, I want to say 2 weeks ago. And that's steak and fries,
French
right?
Fries.
Yes.
Right.
Huh? And, what? Duh? Steak and French fries.
Better than tater tot
era,
casserole.
Rob, it's not. I don't know if you watched CNN recently, you got to clear things up. Steak frites is French fries. Thank ye.
Thank you.
And the steak tasted off. And at first, I'm like, oh, maybe it's just me. I remember the steak tasting different because I've had it 10 times before in the past year. And I started continuing to chew on it. And I'm like, My body's telling me something that my taste buds are telling me something that this isn't safe. So I went to the gentleman and I said, not for nothing, but this tastes different and different in a bad way. And he said, what do you mean, sir? I said, well, I've had this plate before and it tastes.
Hey, excuse me, manager, this steak tastes like Rebel Wilson, okay?
And you know what it tasted like, Mike? It tastes like an old cut of meat, a very old cut of meat.
Okay, so there was a gaminess to this,
yes.
A nastiness to
yes.
It that indicated that maybe it was bad.
It was bad.
Was Mike, it was instead of aged beef. It was overly aged beef.
But what would a restaurant
not so
do?
Great.
They're not gonna throw that away. They're just gonna try to give it some rube.
No, they're not. No, they can't. They have yeah. They actually
turn it into chili.
Even some of the nastiest restaurants will probably throw that away, especially if somebody's complaining. Did it have a did you do a smell check on it as well?
I did not do a smell check, but the gamey is the right word. It was gamey.
See, seafood I find very easy to detect.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's bad because it has that ammoniated taste to it. And the worst I can ever remember was a restaurant that I will not mention in the Northern Virginia area where we got some shrimp. And, you know, I took one bite, and it was literally like biting into ammonia. It was that horrible. You know, where almost it makes your tongue numb when you bite into it.
And also, Mike, a pork product will sometimes takes on a rainbow color. That's a warning sign.
Well, you worked in the grocery business, so
yes.
You would see bad
rainbow.
Meat.
All
would
the
you
time.
See a, would you see a lot of bad meat returned to the grocery store?
You know what? Occasionally, that was more of an. It depended on the store. I would say that when I worked in at the store in the Safeway in Richmond, and not to speak of the neighborhood, but and his mama cried. They didn't have the best meat guy there. We saw a lot of
what makes a good meat guy?
A good meat guy will actually cleanliness.
Yeah.
It's all about cleanliness.
Hi, how
hygiene.
Are you? I'm a good meat guy.
Alan Melvin is Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher. Hi. You want a nice cut of filet? Here it is.
And also,
cut that
Oscar,
up.
The other thing you want to make sure is they don't cut it until they sell it. You don't want to have it cut off and displayed
don't
too long.
Don't need to circumcise unless you have to.
That's right. Just for tips.
You want your best meat, OTB.
OTB?
OTB on the bone.
A ribeye?
you get your ribeye on the
I
bone.
I find ribeyes too messy. Always yeah,
they're very oily.
Yes.
Very oily.
Oh,
very
by
greasy.
The way, ribeye, you know, Mrs. O'Mara and I, especially when it comes grilling season, we disagree on the cut of meat. I am a strip, New
meat,
York strip guy.
Me too.
She is a ribeye. I believe a ribeye is just a nasty excuse to get a fattier piece of meat.
I
That's
agree.
The way I look at it.
Slippery.
Right?
Very slippery. And you know what? Hard to grill because of all the flare-ups. Very
they
fatty.
They flame up.
Yes.
They flame up on you. But that's why people like it because it grills so nice. Grilling steak. No, I like me.
I like
York
to
strip.
See fire. I like to see fire when I make steak frites.
Exactly. Exactly.
Flank steak.
So, now, by the way, that's one thing we've been doing recently is getting the cheaper cuts of meat which is the, do they call it the skirt steak?
Skirt steak, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Traditional meat for, that's traditional for fajitas as well.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey!
Where's my, where's my skirt steak?
You know, Caitlin didn't have a skirt steak a year ago. But now it's all about
skirts. She just got into them.
That's right.
So, you know, I like all the cuts of meat, but...
Gail,
you know,
and Bill.
Chuck E. Cheese, how has it changed?
Yeah.
Thank you for getting me back on track.
Did you have the steak at Chuck E. Cheese?
Had nothing.
Really?
Did not. Yes, Rob.
Are tickets
possible.
Still the currency?
Or is it tokens?
Yes. We walk in. Here's the first thing I noticed. Do you remember the old Chuck E. Cheese where they'd have that catwalk system of little tubes where the kids could crawl through throughout Chuck E. Cheese?
Like that hamsters. Was the whole
habit trail.
That, but that was the whole thing. The one I went to yesterday, gone.
Gone.
No longer. Nothing. I mean nothing. There wasn't a tube or a little
ball pit?
Plastic ball pit.
No.
They are gone. They're non-existent. Oh. All it was... was silly little video games. That's all.
It's an arcade?
It's basically an arcade. That's all it was.
And you get tokens that you win tickets with, right? Is that still the deal?
You get tokens that you put in the machine, and then it's, you know, it pukes out little tickets for you when you're doing that. And as soon as we walk in, I realize why I love casino gambling and why my son might be inclined to pursue the same destructive habit. His head goes on a swivel. He is out of his... he's temporarily out of his mind. He cannot stop moving. He cannot stop looking. He cannot stay on any of the... like, I put him on a little horsey ride, and he couldn't stay that. He couldn't stay on that more
than 10
seconds.
Sensory overload.
Because he wants... he is just going, I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go there. Meanwhile, I'm looking around and going, this is not great. What did they do to Chuck E. Cheese? What happened to Chuck E.? Now, the one of the ladies I asked said, some of them still have all the tubes and stuff that the kids crawl through, but apparently, due to liability issues, they've moved off that that type of thing.
And so you know what I hate about Chuck E. Cheese? I think tokens are, I think that is a disrespect to the client, because they'll never cash tokens back into money.
Yeah,
so
refundable.
Once you buy tokens, you're forced to spend them all. So that's how they keep all the money. Yeah,
but there was one family, well, actually a father and son, that had the system down and had like 10,000 tickets on the floor. It was Larry the Cable Guy and his son, the kid that has the razor sharp boomerang in Mad Max. They were both sitting side by side, like just mainlining these tickets. And I'm just, oh, that's great. Great afternoon, Dad. Way to go. But I was there too, and there were a smattering of mommies around as well.
Oh, any hot mommies?
Mommies?
Yeah, there were some mommies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went south of here. As a matter of fact, the Chuck E. Cheese that I went to was in Naples, Florida.
Ooh.
Oh, down there, don't they call it Charles Fromaggio? It is a fancier restaurant.
Yes. Charles Fromaggio. Welcome to the rat, Charles Fromaggio. And they still have the stage, so I brought, they said, the show will begin at 5 minutes.
Ah.
And so I said, oh, Michael, let's go. And he's on the swivel. No, Dad, I said, Michael, come with me. We're going to get
the show.
We're going to get the Chuck E. Cheese show. And we sit down and they start and they put on a video. And
a
video. Is like, yeah, do your happy dance. Your happy, happy dance, dance, dance. And I'm like, okay, this is the land of suck.
I thought the little animatronic robots come out and start doing their thing.
Well, or at least a mascot. Michael, yeah.
I parked Michael right in front of the rat dummy that's supposed to come alive during the show, and nothing happened.
Does he just stand there? Is he lifeless?
He didn't move. Like,
oh my God,
broken.
It's like a horror movie then.
And then the kid in the rat suit came from behind the stage and does a beeline to the front of the store where he was handing out tickets. And I said, what's wrong? They just cheated us. The stage is down here.
This is not fair.
He didn't walk over to the cock-a-doodle table. I was so pissed.
Is that
off.
When you stood up in the middle and you just went, this is BS.
This is BS. And then I walked over to the rat and said, I hate it when your pain comes. And we'll do five other misery jokes before that. But he got 127 tickets.
That's a lot.
And we took it over to the lady, the slacker lady behind the counter. She said, you have to put that in the ticket exchange machine.
Yep.
And so they have these little things that ticket eater monster, because everything's got to be maximum stimulation. So we got the ticket that said our multiple tickets had 127, and he got a plastic spider about the size of a dime.
Hey,
that's what he got out of this.
Money well spent. Because if you took
like
the money spent,
worth of tokens,
if you took the money you spent at Chuck E. Cheese, you couldn't buy a spider like that.
Yeah, and then he got a sugary soda for the drive home because that got him in the car. So he did that. And then, you know what? Seriously, he never drinks that crap.
Yeah.
He never drinks it. Do you know what he said to me? Halfway home, I swear to God, this is a quote. Daddy, this is making me sick. That's,
hey!
That's his reaction because we don't give him sugary soda.
Oh, so good for him.
That's kind of cool.
You should have said, you know what? $20 for a plastic spider makes me sick, son.
I took the little Chuck E. Cheese cup from him. I said, you're absolutely right. This is garbage. And then I finished it.
Good boy.
Sierra missed if anybody's keeping score at home. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, do I enjoy my Harry's shaving set. I love it. And you know something? Harry's is my way to shave, and it should be your way to shave. It makes the perfect Father's Day gift. It looks cool, it feels special, and it's something that Dad will actually use. This Father's Day, Harry's has got you covered. While supplies last, Harry's has a special limited edition shave set just for Father's Day. Get one for Dad and one for yourself. The limited edition Father's Day set includes a matte black razor handle, a chrome razor stand, Harry's moisturizing foaming shave gel. That, my friends, is the best. I got four of those that are sitting on my sink right now. I love them that much. You get three of Harry's handcrafted blade cartridges and a travel cover, all for just $40. Plus, you have the option for custom engraving and personalized cards, and it comes in a sleek, giftable box. Dad will love it. We're talking five German-crafted blades, a flex hinge, and a lubricating strip at half the price of the leading brand. Go to harrys.com right now for a special offer just for our listeners. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with promo code TMOS. Don't wait. Free shipping for Father's Day ends on Friday, June 3rd, so act now. That's harrys.com and enter the code TMOS at checkout to get $5 off. Get Dad something he'll actually use this Father's Day at harrys.com. Did you guys have the local news story up there in the D.C. area that we had down here that said taking selfies is now a health hazard? Did you hear about that?
I saw that you're not supposed to do it with animals. Is that the one?
A health hazard.
A health hazard. That is exactly what they said it is. It is a health hazard. And the reason is if you take selfies with another person, apparently people have gotten head lice.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, a little noggin on noggin fun creates the head lice transmission.
Have you had any head lice scares now that Michael's going to organize education?
Why do I think we had a flu thing
where
some kids got the flu and then Michael got like a cold, but it wasn't the flu. I don't think we have had the head lice scare. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Head lice. You've had kids more, you know, that have been in the school system more recently.
We've had a couple scares in Loudoun County. Yeah.
Okay. So the whole head lice deal, isn't that something that, you know, that should have been eradicated right around the time Gangs of New York was a big thing.
It seems like it, doesn't it? But all you need is one bad apple, and then you're ruined for a week. You got to get rid of all your all your bedding and all that stuff.
A kid that has head lice,
yep.
Is that because he's putting his head some? Is it a lack of hygiene, or can they pick it up in a
great question?
Like if a kid goes on to a motel or something,
I've never figured out where it comes from, but I know how fast it spreads. It's to a point that when it starts, you get the robocall from the principal that says check your kid out, and then Mike, you get the pleasure of going to a pharmacy and buying the special fine tooth comb, and I believe the medicated shampoo is called Knit.
Knit.
Knit. N-I-T. And you have to do that. And it really shuts everything down. It's horrible.
Right, I'm looking at it right now. It says anyone who comes in head-to-head contact with someone who already has head lice is at greatest risk. Okay. That tells me that somebody who has head lice would give another person head lice. But my question is, how does the person, where's the originator?
Yeah.
Where's patient zero? I'm curious about that.
Probably a little kid. I'm not a big selfie fan. I know I'm the minority. I just,
okay,
I don't like selfies at all because.
Is that why you never take one with me?
I just don't take selfies, period. If you look at my social media profiles, there isn't one selfie on there.
I only take
selfies
with album covers.
Take I know you do. Thank you. You may take selfies. You could have gotten that in after I spoke. You could have done that. You know, I know that. But you don't. You take selfies with everything, not just album covers.
No, mostly album covers, I think.
No, you take selfies with other stuff. Can you look at me and tell me that you only take selfies with album covers? You can't.
No, but I can say that's the majority of them. I would say that is the majority of them.
You love to do that deadpan Tab Patterson stare.
Hey, hey, I invented it. I invented it. Tab took it from me.
You invented it?
I invented it.
All right, well, it's dumb. Anyway, let me tell you about this.
All right, then Tab invented it. I don't want credit for something dumb.
Yeah, Tab. Right,
I live my life doing intelligent things.
Here's a warning for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you are dining or you have, like, a sandwich in the car, you might want to put it down right now. Lice have no wings, so they can only crawl, but Ooh. Crawl they do.
Oh.
And... And they can be very, very fast.
Fast?
I mean, fast. I mean, like, how fast? Because, I mean, a little
how
thing.
How fast?
A little. How fast is that vermin? Because
right,
a little lice guy would move. What would be a slow rate for a human would be incredibly fast lice.
All right. Here's how lice spread by direct contact. Kids will hug each other and literally put their heads together. That's true.
Yep.
You can't completely prevent this, nor would many parents actually want to. Just be cautious. Of any child who is scratching his or her head constantly and who complains of an itchy head. Head lice can also be spread by indirect contact with personal items that the infected person used. I'm starting to get a little...
I remember in elementary school there was a no-hat-sharing policy.
Mm-hmm. Or pillow or
yeah,
something
like condoms. That. They'll bring a lot of pillows to school.
Condoms. That's another bug.
Okay. Similar.
And by the way, you can buy that by the bushel, if you know what I mean.
Full of mustard.
Full of mustard, Mike.
Oh. Enjoy your weekend. Wow. At the hats, scarves, helmets, and caps shouldn't be shared. Even shared lockers or coat racks have been associated with spreading head lice. Look, anybody ever been to an elementary school or a kindergarten? That's all they do is share coat racks. They're
of course.
Piled up 12 deep on that. Make sure your child has his or her own personal comb or brush. This is where advice for parents starts to piss me off. Okay?
Right.
Make sure you take your personal brush to school, Michael. You know, I don't...
In a Ziploc bag.
Parents brush his hair. That's the way. He doesn't brush his hair at 2. Also, make sure your child uses his own hair ties. Well, he's not a girl. Barrettes, scrunchies, and hairpins, and doesn't borrow these from other children. If your child is involved in a sport... Make sure he or she has his own gear and keep track of it at the pool or gym, and make sure your child has his or her own towels and other personal
sports.
Items.
I wonder if you could drown the lice if you stayed underwater a long time while you were swimming.
Hmm. Here's what you didn't get.
Great
you
question.
Still have not gotten where do they
originate?
Where do they come from? After you treat your child's head with your chosen treatment and have removed all the nits.
Nits.
How was that movie? Oh, it was nits.
great lice... nits.
Oh, this is so gross. After you treat your child's head and removed all the nits are the lice eggs found on the shaft of the hair follicle.
Oh.
Here are the steps. Everyone in the household should change his or her clothing and bed linens. Dry them with heat for at least 20 minutes. If something is not machine washable, take it to the dry cleaner. Yeah, take it to the dry cleaner. Right there, that to me is spreading stuff around. When you bring your nits and your lice to the dry cleaner, you're giving it to other people, right?
Yeah, you are. And, you know, especially...
You have to tell them as well. Be like, stain?
You go to the dry cleaner and they have something that says, like, no starch sticker or a sticker that says stain. They have one that says nits.
Nits.
Soak combs, brushes, and any hair ties in 10% bleached and 2% Lysol for one... God, parenting, man. I swear to God. One last thing.
Who has the time?
Do not use your pet's flea shampoo.
What? Right?
That's like saying, do not let your child jump into the gorilla cage, okay?
Really upsetting. They even have to say that.
These contain some of the same ingredients as the human lice shampoos, shampoo, but they have not been tested on children and may be unsafe to us. That did not answer the question about where they come
Mike,
from.
Mike, human head lice are categorized into clades, which I guess are groups, based on their genetic makeup. A clade is a group of organisms that are not genetically identical to one another, but share
another
a common
band name, the clades.
Answer. The clades. The clades. That's right.
The clades.
The clades of human head lice are named A, B, and C and have a different geographic distribution. Clade B originated in North America, but migrated to farther
now
reaches of the
world.
You're
on a scientific website, and it's much too difficult for me to understand.
They exist in the wild, but this is saying where they all originated from. And apparently they're essentially harmless, but they are parasites. So if you don't want to be feeding nits, you got to get rid of these
Nobody
guys.
Wants a
well,
parasite.
Yeah, that's right.
I would also think you got to be wary about the hardest thing that ever is able to be acquired in a restaurant, and that is a high chair. You got to check your high chair. Oh, without question. I mean, look, maybe I'm just awakening to all this stuff because I'm older.
Not awakening.
And now I've got it's my little awakening. But really, I swear to God, I have been to any, and it doesn't matter what restaurant you go to, where the high chair just seems to be the challenge. You're sitting there. They're somewhere. They all have them. They're all stacked up in a corner somewhere, but you mention that when you come in, and it seems to take an hour and a half while Slacker 1 talks to Slacker 2 and meets up with Slacker 3 to get a high chair to the table. And God knows, now that I know this, it's probably covered with glades or clades.
Clades. And also, Mike, I remember the day. They're always sticky, and they always are caked with crumbs. They're never, ever right. wiped down. The
because
last
they don't
concern.
Clean them because it's a restaurant, and why? Why bother?
Why bother?
With that?
Yeah. It's
where
just
you're
for
serving
kids.
Food, it doesn't matter at all. Anyway, so good luck with children. That's all I want to say. I feel once again, I saw the zookeeper that raised that gorilla.
Hey, man.
I felt bad. Hey, man. This is a great animal. No. It sucks again. It really
does.
The whole thing, we talked about it yesterday, but it's just still sad to me.
With
that
great
power
comes great responsibility, Mike.
Close.
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you for that sensitive comment. That was what a beautiful thing that was.
You know, Mike, I feel better now that he said that.
Appreciate it.
I understand it.
We'll take a break and come back with more news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
All right, let me go down the list. I've got clips from The Mike O'Mara Show, The Bonus Show, The Tony Perkins Show, The Rob and Joe Show, Cake and Cookies, probably not, Tech 411, doubtful. What am I missing? I'm missing something. Oh, wait, I'm missing you, the listener. You can be on OmeraCast. So why don't you reach out through Facebook at facebook.com/OmeraCast or on Twitter at OmeraCast and let me know that you want to be on the show. Come on, let's talk about all the fun shows on More Broadcasting and have a great time getting to know each other. Or I'm going to be stuck talking to Mermelstein again. And remember, if you just want to listen, you can always download us directly on the TMOS app.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. And I want to thank everybody on the More Network. They all do great shows. And Marcus Serta, I promise you I will go on your show, even though I gave you a hard time about a week ago. Don't shake your head, Rob. I'm going to go on his show. He's a nice boy. He's a very
and
nice
And speaking
boy.
Of which, get well soon, Steve Mermelstein.
Yeah, I guess Steve was hit by a bicycle.
Yes, he was.
No, really?
He was.
Yeah.
He
what
was
happened?
Walking down the street. He was calling it what? Street photography, where he was just taking pictures.
Yeah.
And he got plowed into by a bicycle.
Let's see if we can make an appointment with Mermelstein for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
And find out about his horrible bicycle accident because we've never interviewed him, have we?
No, I've had more dealings with him than most of the people on this program.
About how much time will you give it before I become completely exasperated for his inability to communicate?
You know that promo we just ran of Marcus runs 38 seconds. It'll be about that.
Thank you. Okay, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll talk to him. And now, let's get right to it, boys, because it's time. What is it time for, Uncle Mike? I'll tell you what it's time for, kids. It's time.
Hey,
it's
kids, time what time is it?
News.
Remember this, kids. The next time you're whining about a price surge on Uber... You know, the incredibly convenient service that you can use right from your phone. I love it. When I've used it, I've only used it 3 times, 4 times. But I adore it, especially when I'm in the big city. Remember, it wasn't there 2 years ago. A new study looked at data from 150 cities and compared fatal car crashes before and after Uber started up. The results are impressive. Within 1 month of Uber being available, the average city saw fatal car crashes drop 62%.
Wow.
Whoa.
Before Uber, there were 8 fatal crashes for every 200,000 people. After Uber, it was down to 3. And fatal crashes involving drunk drivers in the average city dropped 75% within a month of Uber being available. You know what? And I'll tell you what's great about this. It speaks to the fact that when you're in a bar, so many times I remember you would go to the manager, can someone call me a cab?
Right.
Or you would call a cab. It's just the speed and convenience of using the app.
No excuse.
Is perfect for the drunk. It's perfect for the drunk.
No excuse for driving drunk these days.
The drunk has no patience to wait for a cab. You know, Oscar, I've learned. Thank you.
The researchers say it shows people are choosing to take Uber instead of driving when they're drunk. Rob will still wait for the free ride from somebody.
Lying because I don't go out. So there.
Yes, thank you. Researchers say it shows people are choosing to take Uber instead of driving when they're drunk, tired, or don't really belong on the road for whatever reason. The study also found 18% fewer people get arrested for DUIs within a month of Uber becoming available.
That's fantastic.
I think that's great news. Yeah. So remember, use your Uber and good luck to him. You know those Carrot Top jokes that everybody's told for years? Carrot Top, the butt of jokes forever. For as long as I can remember. You know, Carrot Top, by the way, is having the last laugh on you.
Uh-oh.
He may not have your respect, but he doesn't need it because he is a lot richer and more successful than you might think. He has been a headlining act at the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas for over a decade.
Whoa. That's the pyramid one, right?
That's right. Okay. He is still selling out 5 or 6 shows a week. In fact, he just signed on for another 5 years, and he is worth an estimated $75
million. Wow!
That is so sickening.
To put that in perspective, he has made more money than Chris Rock at $70 million, Tina Fey at $65 million, Jerry Lewis at $50 million, and Billy Crystal, Kevin Hart, and Stephen Colbert, who are all at $45
million. Yeah,
Carrot Top makes more.
The income stream is constant.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you really think about it, he's got that one show he probably spruces up, I would say, if we're lucky, every 6 months.
Yeah, that
and
would be if we were lucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he doesn't, because the audience comes to him. It's the old thing about Vegas. You can do the same. You can do the same show for 20 years.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Vice Canada did a profile on Carrot Top, and he said, "quote I've always been picked on my whole comedy career. I was always the punchline, and then someone said one time, well,
you want
you've
steroids?
You've done it like 32 years, so there comes a point where I guess you get to be a little more legitimate." Because of time. Nope. But hey, you know, more power to him. I think he's a nice guy. I think I've read a lot of interviews with Carrot Top. I don't think have we ever had him on, Ron?
No. And the best thing about him is that he's not horrifying to look at. I love that about him.
I really think you would get a good interview out of Carrot Top because he is an interesting guy and he knows the jokes that he gets. And
sure.
You know, he's been rocking and rolling for a while.
He's laughing.
He's kind of quirky.
All the way to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amber Heard released new photos to People magazine showing her face with a bruised eye and a cut lip that were allegedly caused by Johnny Depp. There were text messages that I believe were from 2014 where she is talking to a representative of Johnny Depp about he's so sorry that they're very damning. I know that people are picking on this lady right now. But the fact is, I saw the text messages today, and they are damning because there's one exchange where they say the publicist or whoever the rep for Johnny Depp says he really didn't mean to kick you like that. Something along the lines of that. Yeah, yeah. So I think what the legal experts are saying is now that this stuff is starting to grow a little bit of hair, it's going to be a little less War of the Roses, and I think the Depp people are going to go full bore to settle this thing because this is not looking good for Johnny Depp at all.
It's growing Johnny Depp hair, Mike.
Yeah. Apparently, a source says he's very insecure when it comes to her. She likes to be free and do her own thing, and he's a jealous guy. He was attracted to the very things about her that he couldn't handle, and they clashed at every turn. So,
he needs to be jealous of her.
Yeah, he's Johnny Flippin' Depp.
Yes.
No, but the thing is, that's legit.
He's been knocking down Trim before she was even born.
Yeah, but if he, if you saw these text messages, hey, I was one saying that.
Thank you.
There he goes. Yeah, there he can't. He can't help himself.
Do you remember 21 Jump Street? Do you remember?
I swear to God.
It was right. 21 Jump Everything.
Yeah. All right.
Make Dreamboat then. Thank you. Dreamboat
All right.
Now.
Very good. I'm not arguing. Starbucks recently added a drink called the Strawberry Acai Refresher to their menu. It's basically strawberry juice, and it didn't make a particularly big impact until now. Some barista figured out that if you mix it with coconut milk instead of water and add pieces of strawberries, it's fantastico. Can we do a taste test this week on the show, perhaps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it became an unofficial secret menu item Ooh. Called Pink Drink.
I would like to, excuse me, barista? Yes. My name is Ponyboy, and I would like, if you could, to make, be quiet now, because this is a secret menu.
What
I would
want,
like
sir?
I would like a pink drink, please.
Oh, pink drink!
And if you would like to put my name on the cup, my name is Little Bit.
My name's Little Bit. I'm going to go down to the coffee store and get a pink drink.
Do you have the coffee machine to make the pink drink?
Pink drink. People go crazy for it. If you try to order it and the barista doesn't know what you're talking about, just ask for the Strawberry Acai Refresher with coconut milk. Why do I think that our friends downstairs in our studio building will probably go with that one as opposed to pink drink?
Well, Mike,
tomorrow we'll do. I'm going to save this. We'll do it tomorrow. Can we do it?
Yes.
Who's
yes.
the intern that's not, who? What intern's going to be on campus tomorrow?
Mac tomorrow.
Well, yes. You know what? 50-50 shot.
Let's send Mac down with a cell phone and do it live.
If he comes,
yeah, we'll do it live. And what we can do, Mike, is we can order the pink drink, and our wonderful baristas downstairs will give him a caramel latte.
We'll do it live.
Live.
That'll be awesome. The website Thrillist.com posted a guide for tipping bartenders in different scenarios, and apparently you should leave more than a dollar sometimes. Here are five scenarios on how much they say to tip. See if you agree. I'm not a big fan of these Thrillist tip charts, you know, guides, because
right.
You know, I think they come from a bad place. If you're getting a beer, tip at least $1 or $2 if you're at a more upscale place. What, it's a dollar
about
on a beer?
It's about matter? Percentage. I mean, because a beer could be a dollar
Don't
if it's like happy.
Tell me how to tip. I'll tip the way I want.
Yeah.
So it says even if they're just filling a glass or opening a bottle for you, you got to tip them a buck.
A buck?
No.
What if the beer's $14?
I know. Exactly. If you order a cocktail, tip at least $2 or $3 if it takes a while to make. Excuse me.
No,
this
the whole
seems
thing,
a little high.
Tip means to ensure promptness. If it's slow getting to you, tip them less, not more.
By the way, how many of us now are going to get angry messages from servers?
No.
Oh, it'll be okay.
We've discussed it, and if I'm not mistaken, we tip on merit, not percentage, except for Rob.
Well, what does that even come from? I was the one who said percentage, yeah.
If you're drinking something non-alcoholic, you should still tip them a dollar, which does kind of make sense since they're still doing the same amount of work. And now
no.
I don't know where this is. This is coming from the service industry. If they give you a free drink, tip them double on your next drink.
I would say that's probably quite valid.
Yeah.
If you get
a
free drink.
If you order multiple drinks or shots, tip at least 20% on the whole bill. How about you run a tab and maybe tip 20%, which
20%
is what I do.
Is the way to do it, yeah.
Most drinks cost more than $5, so that's going to be more than a dollar a drink if you do 20%.
Don't
so,
give me all your almost, math. Just give me the drink.
That sounded like Ed McMahon. That's more than a dollar.
That's more. On the upside, if your bartender's a jerk, they say it's okay to stiff them and not leave a tip. So there you have it.
These
all right,
jerks.
Thank you very much. And now a little something-something from China. China News. China News.
China.
China.
It's the Chinese.
Oscar, you're going to enjoy this story.
Ni hao.
The manager of a Chinese roadside service area has ticked people off by introducing female-only parking spaces. The spaces are much larger than the other spaces, and they have pink lines on them with the international symbol for women. You know, like what you see on a restroom door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this idea is getting crushed by Chinese social media. This has also been done in Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. The idea was criticized in the German press because they thought it discriminated against men. Hey. We want a bigger parking space.
Come on, give us something. Now, big drink.
They were actually protecting our cars, the men, because women clearly have an issue.
Well, we're getting it today.
Clearly.
I have no evidence of this, but I have heard that Chinese men have smaller parking spaces than other countries.
But Shannon has run into things that I didn't think was possible with her car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's why you guys are going to live in wedded bliss.
I happen to remember a gas station that was ran into by your lovely wife.
Hmm.
Yes, this is true. And she never goes by that with saying, that's the one where they've got the bad barriers. Yes, that's right. Yeah. It was the barriers' fault.
That's the place with the moving barriers, right? The ones that shoot right. towards your car?
Yeah, yeah, like whack-a-mole. We'll take a break. And we'll come back with the Audio Vault, Rob Spiewak, right here, everybody. Hey, everybody. Mike O'Mara here reminding you that on Monday's show, we have a major announcement. If you love all things TMOS, you'll want to be here right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Pony, text me whatever you were
trying to show.
He
wants you to do an Amazon read.
Yeah, it just says Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
No. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
That went well.
Support our Amazon link. I mean, really, it's the best way to support the show. Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. We love Amazon. You will love Amazon, too. Trust me, Ponyboy always says, Mike, tell him about Amazon.
I adore it.
I am going to tell him about Amazon. When you go to Amazon and do your online shopping, not only do you get great prices, but you help the show because we get a teeny tiny
go through our link.
Yes, just click the thing.
Go to our thing and make sure you click the thing. It's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't want to do that, there's nothing I can do about it. But go to MikeOmerishow.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. And I can't see you, so when you hold up a sign, I can't even see your faces.
I love you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
you very much. That's
you know
sweet.
What that was? That was a watershed moment
yeah,
right
was.
There. That was sweet.
Thank you very much. Let's all right. Bite me, all of you. Let's open up the audio vault and let's get through this.
Mike, I was curious. Is sometimes you know on the show Batman when they would sign that bat light up in the sky and Batman would come running?
The bat
signal.
One of
my favorite parts of Batman was the light up the bat signal.
The bat signal. I'm wondering if when Oscar hears this.
Oh, yeah.
He just runs to Channel 5 because I turned on the news last night and saw the last 20 seconds of him being interviewed.
I was on the news.
I said, what?
The news.
What happened that you were on the news?
I got an
Oscar was on the news?
Yes.
What happened?
No big deal. We do TV all the time, fellas.
Yeah, we do.
I'll say that I wasn't the first choice. I was probably the seventh choice.
Is it based on proximity?
It's based on proximity.
Shine the light. Oh,
I am all in. What were you commenting on? What were they? Do we have it? I have
like 25 seconds of it because I only tuned in at the end.
About as long as I was on.
But I'm guessing. Let me guess. Is it about the story that kids can be barred from prom if they're caught drinking?
Yes.
Aha!
Mike, I was outraged. Let me tell you.
Oh, he put it
the
on.
The wrong guy. The guy, by the way, that blacked out at the piano bar the other night is outraged about kid drinking.
No. I was outraged.
He was so outraged that he was sweaty. I know that.
I was outraged that people were outraged.
Oh, is that your deal?
Yes. The idea that somebody can go to prom and a student body will show up and they signed a contract and the entire student body isn't going to drink is BS. That's the wrong tool for the problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because
it's 6 students, they drank, and they said they couldn't walk on a commencement. The parents lobbied, and the punishment was overturned. The students still got suspended, but the students got to walk at graduation in front of their family and friends.
Because
and,
the parents protest.
Yeah, but people are calling for now the superintendent's head and their job
fired.
Because he made a call.
All right, now I got the story. How the hell did you get that? Were they on the street? Is that what it was?
Well, they said, who's close and can talk?
This is the same thing as with the drone. Remember when he showed up with the drone on the evening news one night? Because he's close.
Yeah.
That's it.
Where were you where you were interviewed? What part of the world?
I went to Box 5.
Right? Yeah, home.
I got a call at 8 p.m. They said, can you come at 10? I said, of course. I'll be there.
Oh, you mean you did a panel thing?
Yes.
He was in the loft.
In the law.
Well, Rob, you didn't even. Jesus Christ, Rob, nobody saw it in our listening audience. I didn't know what it was.
It is clear. Nobody saw it.
Powers. Remember, it's radio. We are painting a picture.
Imagine my surprise.
You gave no information about this. You're great at playing the sound effect. How about a friggin' description of what happened when you set it up, for Christ's sake?
Mike, I
thought it might have come from the guy who was there, too, though.
So neither one of you were doing it.
Mike, to give you some origin stories. Again, I got the email, and I saw that I was one of many Many turned it down, and I said, I'm right around the corner. I can be there by 10 p.m.
So a man on the street, what did they put under your name? Oscar Santana, noted.
I didn't even see it
on
TV.
You know what? And by the time I tuned in, he was seated in the round couch.
You don't see the monitors. You don't even see yourself.
It was Tony Perkins, who is on our network, and Sean Yancey, who is not. A young lady.
I've been there. I know you don't see yourself. I know that. I know. Probably sitting on the same couch that I've sat on there.
It's new to me.
That's kind of cool. Lice so how do you everywhere. Get, where did you get this connection where they call you? How did this work?
Well, I think, and I'm almost positive.
You networking fool.
No, I think Tony was like, if you need somebody, Oscar's close. I think that's what happened.
Likely.
That's awesome. Yeah. That so is this awesome.
Is, I was going to say, this is all I have because this is what I tuned into. Oscar, a phone call would have been nice.
Oh, are you? I found out at 8 p.m.
Which gave you only 2 hours
to
call me.
You think I'm calling? It's TV. Who cares?
You didn't discuss it at lunch?
No.
Come on now.
No. Rob
come
was there.
On, you no, liar. No. Come on now.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
This didn't come up at lunch when maybe Rob went to the potty.
No, there was no potty.
No, I just went all in right. my pants. Let's go to this clip already in progress.
That someone will break this contract or this pledge. I had it growing up as well. If they break the pledge and then the administration has to go through this entire process, which is a difficult decision involving everyone, is this the right tool to ensure that students won't drink at prom?
If you don't do it now, in 10 or 15 John, years, will they be killing people? And will we say, okay, well, they didn't learn a lesson then. So we got to start somewhere and set rules and people.
I would say that those rules start at home.
They do.
True.
They absolutely do.
Well, they have to be continued through society. All right, we can keep talking about this.
I thought I did pretty well.
Oscar and Alexis, mm-hmm. thanks you know so much what? For coming
thank
in.
Thank you.
I think it's delightful that you are expanding your wrong side of every issue empire to
television.
To get on the magic box. I think that is fantastic.
Mike, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
And I think everybody stuff. Who they asked before was like, I can't go on local news and say it's okay to drink.
Yeah, true enough.
Right? And they were probably right. I said, what do I got to lose? I'm covered in
that's
paint.
Awesome.
Was it hot in the studio?
It was really warm.
Yeah, you were shiny.
Yeah.
You were very, very shiny.
But I was on TV.
Yes, you were.
And you were sitting at home.
That's right. Watching you on TV, saying, why didn't that jerk tell me he was going to be on TV?
That jerk store.
That jerk store went into hiding. This is my favorite piece of tape today, Mike. This is from South Carolina. His name is Joseph Fuller. He is 65 years old. He was sent to pick up his grandson at school. He picked up the wrong kid.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So what we're going to hear here is Joseph Fuller explaining why it went wrong, and then the dad of the wrong kid, Darren Presley, saying, this is unacceptable.
I went in and filled out the excuse to have him excused from school, brought him home. They are very resembling a lot, and that's how I mistakenly took him to be my grandson.
That's gross negligence on the school's behalf. And, you know, my thing is to, you know, make half of prevention put in place so that this doesn't ever happen again.
The problem here is not the fault of the school or the grandfather. It's the kid.
Yeah.
The kid needs to say, that's not my grandfather.
That's not this guy. But the grandfather sounds like he's got some issues as well.
Oh, I think he was one of the guys that turned down Channel 5 last night.
Yeah, I think I saw him at Chuck E. Cheese sitting alone in a booth.
Now, let us close with this. This is my 911 call of the day. Quincy, Massachusetts, I believe it is, Mike. Is there a Quincy in Massachusetts?
I know Quincy, Massachusetts. I sure do. Yeah, that's right, Rob. Quincy, Mass. Quincy, Mass there, boy.
Okay, it's the home of the pain in the butt kid. A five-year-old gets home with his dad, makes a 911 call, and says, Dad ran a red light.
911, it's not Dakota. What's your emergency?
Daddy went past a red light.
Yeah?
There's a black truck.
And what happened?
Oh, God.
Man.
And then he had to go to the car wash, and then he went past the red light.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Is he home right now?
Yeah.
Can I talk to him?
Yeah.
Hello? Is that good on?
Hello? Hi, Quincy Police.
Oh, no. I'm just going to apologize. That's my five-year-old son.
Just want to let us know you ran a red light.
Oh, no. I apologize.
No problem. As long as everything's all set.
Yep, never good. Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Very good. All
right. What I love is the kid saying he went past a red light. Yeah. Is he here?
He went past a red light.
Put
oh
him
my
on.
God.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That is amazing. Oh, God. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara show has come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. And to get your message or birthday request into the mailbag, had a good one today, send it along to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. The Mike O'Mara Show relies on your word of mouth, so tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.